everybody get a lesson handout this week? If you don't have one, this evening I wanted to look at least what I consider just a beautiful reference in the Bible. All scripture points to Christ, and this is just another one of those instances where we have in the Old Testament, again, scripture painting a picture of Jesus and what's to come. And one of these in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a very special book because it's almost like a debate coming on where the author brings up the Old Covenant and the old law and what was in that, but then he compares that to the New Covenant of Jesus and just how much better things are in Christ. And that's what I've heard the book of Hebrews called the book of better sometimes by some. And it really, as you go through it and you study that, you see, like, wow, what it was. And in going through this, I just want to share with you a beautiful picture that I think is painted, one of the beautiful pictures in that. So we'll start off with Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 7. And it says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sin. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come down to do your will, O God.'" And here, again, just as scripture says, the old law, the old covenant, those were just a shadow of what was to come. And it was, there's going to be so much better. And if that was what it took to take away sin, was the blood of animals, then there would be no more need. Once you had that done, there would be no need. Instead, they have to do it annually. And the scriptures say, why would you have to repeat it if that took away your sins? Why would there be any need? And in verse 4, it says, "Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." So that was impossible. And I think what God is pointing to, you go back to John chapter 1. In verse 29, it says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.' That was the sacrifice that God was looking for. And that was in Jesus. Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, when he gave himself to be sacrificed, that washed away all the sins of the world. He continues to wash them away today." And that's what the scriptures have been painting for us from the very beginning. And God just continues to reveal through the scriptures that Jesus died so that we might live. That's the story of the Bible, and that's what we need to accept. And here in verse 5, back in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire.'" Now, this is a quote from Psalm chapter 40, verses 6. And here, in the first part of the Psalms, you hear David, as you're reading that, see, David is giving thanks to God for all the blessings and all the grace that he has received up to this time. And also in verse 8, he comes to realize, again, this is a quote, that God is not looking for sacrifices of animals and the blood of animals to do that, but he wants, for God's will, is God desires obedience from us. And that's what it's saying. Sacrifices offered we did not desire. God desires obedience from us. And that's what he's looking for us. And in Romans 12, I have verse 1, where it says, Paul is Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's what we are called to do. We are called to live our lives as living sacrifices, not as a dead animal. We are alive in Christ. And we need to live our lives accordingly and offer ourselves to that, to God. That's our spiritual act of worship. And a body that you prepared for me. Again, that's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, where it says, but a body that you have prepared for me. Now, in the Bible, it talks about the body as the church of Christ, or the church as being the bride of Christ. That's the body, I believe, that he is talking about here. And I'd just like to read Revelation chapter 19, 1 through 7. It says, after this I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute, who corrupted the earth by her adultery. He has avenged on her blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all of his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Now this is just one example of the church of the body, or Jesus' bride being prepared. I really like in Isaiah 54, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 5 and 6. And again, it says, for your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I will abandon you, but with deep compassion that will bring you back. And again, although he's speaking to the Israelites, I believe God's still speaking to us. We are God's people. He is our creator. And again, he's telling us, this is who we are, husbands. And that's the body. We are that body that's being prepared and shaped for that union with Christ when we go to heaven. And it's just a beautiful picture that Scripture is painting for us over and over again. And there's other examples. I have in John chapter 17, verse 9. Now this is in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, it says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So again, this is the body that Jesus is praying for, and that is for us. We are called out of this world. He's not praying for the world. He's praying for those that we have been given to God. And again, that's in preparation to be made his bride. And in 2 Corinthians 11:2, there's another example of us being called a bride, the bride of Christ. And now comes the part where I was just very, very impressed as we were doing our study and going through this. Exodus 21 really caught me. In chapter 19 of Exodus, we have God preparing his people to receive the law. In chapter 20, they received the law. And now in 21, when I read this, this is pertaining to Hebrew slaves, Hebrew servants, as we call them. So I'd like to read from verse 1 to verse 6. It says, these are the laws you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. Within the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. So here is where I see Jesus has come down. He has left his throne to come down from heaven to come to earth. And in doing so, back then, if you saw a man walking around with a hole in his ear, you knew that he either loved his servant so much or his master so much that he wanted to stay in servitude to him, or else that his master had given him a wife and had created a family, and that he was willing to stay in that bondage of slavery to be with his family and his children. And so, again, as I was saying, as Jesus left heaven and came down to earth, he lived here for 30 years, and then he started his ministry. And he did his ministry for 3 years. At any time, Jesus could have left this earth. He could have left, walked away, and just left us here in our sins and died. But Jesus didn't do that. He loved us. And so what he did is he was given his body, which he gave on the cross. Instead of his ear being pierced, Jesus took it all the way to his body being given for us. And in doing that, Jesus, again, being who he was, he didn't stay here on earth to be a servant to sin. He conquered that. He went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And he is preparing a place for us, his bride. He's preparing a place for us. And when I look at that, I just, this scripture just has so